Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen Hart's Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today for another session of Home, Helen Arm Empowerment. We pray that you have been blessed this entire week and that the blessings of the Lord have been making you rich and add no sorrow. We come to you in the highest name that heaven recognized, and that's in the wonderful name of Jesus, recognizing that Jesus has all power in his hand. And we're excited today that you have joined us on today, and we're looking forward to just another glorious time in the Lord on today. I want to take just a moment to welcome all of my listeners from around the world. I just want you to know I am excited about you and what God is doing in and through your life. Continue to send us emails and send us praise report of how God is blessing you and doing great and marvelous things. And our covenant prayer partners will be more than glad to covenant and pray with you for whatever your prayer requests may be. Please send them in. Email them to covenantprayer@msn.com. That, again, is covenantprayer@msn.com. On today, we're going to be talking about the God of provision on today, recognizing that God is the one that will make provision for his people. Now, before we even get into our lesson today, I want to just take a moment and acknowledging God as we get ready to get into our lesson. Gracious God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for just allowing us the opportunity to come and speak on your behalf to your people. We bind the forces of darkness. And we loose, oh God, your divine and sacred will, even on this session. You are the God of provision. And Father, we ask that you bless your people. And we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We do want to say again, we thank God for each and every one of you that have joined us on today. Ultimate Dime, we want to say we thank God for you. If you're still there with us and all those that are with us, there in your home or your radio or in your place of abode, we welcome you again. We're going to be talking about victorious living through the word of empowerment from biblical lessons and principles, and we're going to be exploring the theological implication as well as contextualizing the relevancy for our lives today and for today's living. And I know that you'll be able to apply this word to your life, and you will be greatly and divinely blessed. So I would like to invite you to go with us to the book of Mark chapter number 6, verse 35 to verse 44. And I want to read in your hearing the scripture. And it reads on this line. And when the day was now far spent, his disciple came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew that, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, and by hundreds, and by fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set them before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, and were about 5,000 men. And today we're going to be focusing on the fact that Jesus Christ is the provider of our physical, emotional, as well as our spiritual needs. And he supplies and satisfies every one of our needs. And that's key for us as children of God to recognize that it is Jesus Christ who is going to satisfy our every need. On Sunday, the Lord blessed us with just a profound word to speak to his people. We talked about the assurance in the invocation of the name. And I tell you, it was a tremendous blessing for us, a great gain, even a greater understanding and revelation of the name of Jesus. It's important, child of God, for us to recognize the importance of the name of Jesus and in your salvation, in your walk with God. It is key and vital. Now, we're going to talk about on today the God of provision, and we're going to explore the implication that it has for our life as today as children of God. Let's take a look. There is a clear lesson that God desires to teach us throughout the Holy Scripture. He is the provider. He is both our provider when things are not well and when things are going well. He is our provider always and in every circumstance and situation. Too often people relegate Jesus to being only the God of crisis and not the God of everyday life. But through the incarnation, he revealed his compassion for us in all things and let us know that we can call on him and receive divine assistance in every circumstances of life. Many accounts in the scripture show that Jesus is both the provider in time of crisis and the provider in our day-to-day life. Jesus' disciples expressed their concern for the people that he had been teaching all day. The people have been without food and probably were growing faint. The disciples, therefore, urged him to send them away that they could eat. But Jesus commanded his disciples to feed them. Now, the disciples questioned, but where is the, we're here in the desert place, and are we going to get enough food for this many people? Jesus asked them, how much bread do you have? And they went on to say, 5 loaves plus 2 fish. At that time, Jesus directed the people to sit down. He took the loaves and the fish and gave thanks, divided it up and gave it to the people. Everyone ate and all they wanted, and they were all, there were even food left over for them. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments after feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children. Now, Jesus recognized that this crisis situation needed his attention. He would not let the people go away hungry. Without food for strength, many of the people would not be able to traverse the rough terrains and arrive safely at their homes, which were many miles away. Jesus resolved the crisis situation through divine provision. He truly is the God of crisis. But the God of, but not of crisis only. Jesus is concerned with providing both our extreme necessity as well as our everyday need. And so that's why we find over in Matthew, it says, Matthew 6 and 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, let's look at how Jesus taught his disciples. Mark 6 and 34 reads, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The Lord of compassion. Now, we are called to teach the lost and dying people of the world the wonderful truth of the new birth and life through Jesus Christ. This responsibility is not just for the preacher or the educated among us, but for every one of God's chosen and faithful people. However, before we can really feed them with the word of God, we need compassion for them. In Mark 6:34, provided us with a wonderful example of compassion. When Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, and we need to follow his example and go forth among the lost and see their condition and minister them from a burden of love and compassion. We cannot express divine compassion to all people if we remain only in our furnished living room and beautiful sanctuary. We have to follow the divine mandate and to go out and find them and compel them to come in, that his house may be filled. Now let's look at the multitude without a shepherd. First, we're going to look at the need of a shepherd. People are like sheep who need someone to lead them. Without leaders, sheep wander aimlessly and become lost or fall prey to their natural enemy. It is true that people also need a leader, someone to guide them and show them the way to eternal life. Moreover, Christians need to become leaders in their community so that they may lead their friends and family to the Savior. Number two, provisions of the shepherd. The sheep are fed and watered when the shepherd leads them to the grassy field and water hole. The sheep do not leave the shepherd. It is the provision of the shepherd that keeps the sheep alive. So it is the people today need the Lord to be their shepherd and lead them in the way of life. Number three, protection and direction of the shepherd. The shepherd, not the sheep, drives the wolves away and guides them to safe pastures. In a similar sense, God protects his great church by placing pastors in the midst to drive the enemy away and care for the souls of his people, leading them after Christ. Now let's look here. Jesus taught the people the importance of teaching. Pentecostals are surely blessed by great preaching week after week. We spend much time listening to preaching, and we love to hear great messages from God's word. But much of the work God is done through teaching. When the Bible teacher or pastor open the word of God and teach, the people are fed. Well-fed people grow spiritually, and they reproduce after their kind and influence others to also follow Christ. Number two, the green pastures of the word. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalms 23, verses 2 through verse number 3. Every good shepherd knows how to locate the best pasture for the sheep and the best place to find good food. Likewise, the pastors understand how vital the word of God is to the people he or she leads. Every word of the Lord is sufficient to feed the people, provide direction, and give counsel and solve the problems mankind faces. There is no substitute for the Bible in preaching and teaching. And that's why it's very important to be in a strong Bible class or New Life Sales or even the Blog Talk Radio as we are teaching and providing meat and manna for God's people, along with Christian education. It's very, very key to not only to have the preaching, but to be naturally fed the word of the Lord. And when you attend Bible study or listening to the blog such as this, you are being fed the word of God, and it is very key and important. The eagerness of the listener. We should not overlook one vital aspect of this scenario. The listener needs to be eager to learn, to hear, and apply the teaching of God's word. A full person cannot be fed, neither can a disinterested person be challenged, edified, or uplifted. The church needs eager listeners. Jesus is looking for people who are hungry to hear his word, obey it, and to love it. Now, let's look at Jesus, who had a plan as well. Mark 6, 35 to 37. And when the day was now far spent, his disciple came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into a country round about and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? This situation did not catch Jesus off guard. We should have a confident hope in our God who knows what circumstances we have faced and exactly what we need. We know and care. He knows and he cares and have a plan for our lives. Now let's look at the desert place, and then we're going to look at no provision. Now we must recognize as we're looking at this that Jesus Christ knows all about every one of our situation and circumstances that we may find ourselves in. So to rest assured of knowing that God knows already. He knows the beginning to the end. He already knew the circumstances that you may find yourself in. He already knew this. It's no secret to God what you're going through or what you're being faced with. But what it is that we must turn back to the God of our salvation and cry out unto him to help us and to invoke that name and to come into the place of his provision and protection that he has so readily provided for his people. Now, it's no shortness on God's part, and God is not a God of that is not true to his word, but God is going to do what he promised to do. But we as the children of God, we must make ourselves available to the provision that God has given to us for growth, for development, for the advancing of his kingdom, for bringing our gifts and talents even into the house of God and things, and allowing God's kingdom to grow and flourish and souls to be saved, disciples to be developed into the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at a desert place right now. Now, most people at some time in their lives have experienced difficult times. Perhaps it was a struggle with illness or disease. Possibly it was a time of want for the basic necessities of life. In times when there are no groceries, no money, no way out, no answer, no help, no hope, no one, even heaven seemed far away than normal. Yet in the desert places of our lives, the Lord's provision stands ready to help us. In the lesson text of Mark chapter 6, Jesus purposely led the multitude into the desert place to teach them. He was not lost, confused by the terrain, or controlled by outside influences beyond his own power. Jesus was in complete control, and it was his sovereign will to lead the people to this desert place of waste and little provision. The Lord of heaven and earth delights to meet with us in our places and situation of need. No place is too far away for his presence to reach us. No need is so great that he cannot meet it. No desert is so bleak that he cannot provide for us in the midst of it. Jesus had a plan to feed the multitude in the desert, and he has a plan now to meet our every need if we only trust him and come to him and obey him. Now, let's look at those three aspects. First of all, we must trust him. Then we must come to him. And then we must obey him. And so those are key elements that not only trust in him, but we must come to him and talk with him and commune with him and begin to tell him, God, I have this need, and I know, God, you already know about my need, but, Father, I bring this need before you because, God, I need you each and every day, every minute and of the hour. And what you're doing at that point in time, you are telling Jesus that your dependency is upon him, not of your own self, not of your own volition, but your dependency is of him. Now, let's look further. It says sometimes we come to the limit of our forbearance. Someone calls at the end of our rope before calling on Jesus for help. Who holds the stars in place can surely help us. We must believe and trust in his assistance, for he will not fail us. And it's so hard sometimes, and it can be a great challenge to believe that Jesus is really wanting to help us, and even in the smallest of matters. And so we must trust him for our daily provision and for our daily bread and our daily substance that we need from him. We must trust him as never before. Now, Hebrews 13 and 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In whatever desert place or need or desperation we are, he is there and he will help us if we will still believe and allow him to work on our behalf. Now, in his omnipresence, he is ever available in all places. And so here it denotes and lets us know that in all places, he is available and he is there to help us, to garner us, to undergird us, to fortify us and strengthen us in whatever angle or place we may find ourselves in. Now, Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10 states, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Now, no provision. Let's take a look at that. The multitude had nothing to eat, no provision. But Jesus provided for them their human needs through divine means. Today, through the preached word of God and through the working of the Holy Spirit, the church can provide the spiritual help our world needs. God's church has the greatest of all providers, Jesus Christ, and the greatest of all counsel is God's word. If we will do our best to provide these two things to our world, we will give them the best there is to offer, and Jesus will provide for their needs. And we must recognize that Jesus is still yet providing for the needs of his people. And we must rest assured that no matter where we find ourselves at, or how hard the test may be or seem, Jesus will provide for each and every one of our needs, no matter how hard it may seem or how besetting it may feel to you. God will provide for you. Now let's look at trying circumstances. John 6, 1 through 6 states, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracle, which he did on them, that they were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountains, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread? What shall these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. And we find that over in John chapter 6, verses number 1 through verse number 6. It has been said that the rubber band is only good when it has been stretched. What good are muscles that are not used? What good are resources that are not spent? What good is faith that is not tried? The scriptures teach that tried or tested faith is precious faith. Now, the scripture over in 1 Peter 1 through 7 says that the trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, so it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. Mark 6 teaches that Jesus allowed and even sent circumstances beyond our control into our lives to try our faith and to develop more faith in us. If trials increase faith, they are actually our friend and not our enemy. The need of food allowed God to perform a miracle and cause faith to be ignited in the multitude. The need to feed the people caused the disciples' faith to increase. And because what they could provide on their own was insufficient, It took the hand of their master to supply the need. And so it is now. It still takes the hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to supply our every need. Now, Jesus provided. Now, they were in the desert. They needed some provision, and there was no provision. They were being very tried by some trying circumstances, but Jesus provided for them. And let's take a look at that. Mark 6, verse 38 through 42. He said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by company upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by 50. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he took up the heaven. To heaven, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he them among them all. And they did eat and were filled. Now, let's take a look further. The small offering. In the hand of the lad, his lunch would have fed only one. But in the hand of Jesus, the little boy's lunch fed 5,000 men beside women and children. And now many times, and we think sometimes that we don't have nothing to give. And as I often tell those at our church, that if you give your voice to God and give your faith to God, God can do far more greater with your voice and your faith than you could ever do. You can come on the prayer line. You can begin to read scripture and speak the scriptures in the airway or even at the house of God, be a prayer warrior, a praying. Many times people think, well, I don't have a lot of money to give. I don't have a gift and skills. But you have one of the greatest things that God's given you, and that's your voice. That's your being. That's who you are. And you can help by giving your hands and helping out in the house and the things of God. All these things are ways that we can be used by God by giving of ourselves unto God, giving of our voice, giving of our faith, coming together in the spirit of unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith and the bond of peace by coming together in the spirit of unity. And that's one of the greatest things that we can do and give unto God. And God will greatly and tremendously bless the children of God because you gave your voice over to God. You gave your will over to God. You gave your entire being over to God. Now, God can take what meant for just one, just like that lunch was just enough for one, but God turned it around for a miraculous miracle for the multitude. And that's what God wants to do in your life. Yes, you. I'm talking to you, child of God. God is wanting to do that in your life because you have yielded your life, yielded your heart, mind, and soul over into his mighty hand, and watch him do it. It said, Luke 21 and verses 1 through 4, it said, and he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow have cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God. But she of her penury have cast in all the living that she had. Now, what appears to mankind as small and insignificant is the raw material for a miracle for God. Some people have said that if they had inherited $1 billion, they would give a large amount of it to the church. Yet if they have not, are not faithful with the small amount of money that God has entrusted them, why would he entrust even more to them? No offering is small when it is given to Jesus with faith and obedience. If we are faithful in little things, the Lord will reward us with greater responsibility. Too often in this story, we overlook the faithful work of a mother to prepare a lunch to send with her boy because she was faithful to what she could do. God had this seedling of a miracle. We need some miracle makers in our midst today. People who in their everyday faithful performance of duty provide the means whereby God can perform a miracle. So whatever you're doing, either in the house of God or in the things of God, continue to keep rendering it over to God, and that he will perform the miracle in it and through it, because that's what he wants to do as we yield ourselves over into the mighty hand of God. Now, let's look further. And we, when he had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Mark 6:41. Before the multitude could be fed, the bread and the fish had to be broken. God uses broken things to perform miracles today. Someone has said that God cannot use a person greatly until he first been broken, and that God had broken them deeply. Are we willing in our comfort and ease to be disturbed and broken so that we can be the raw material of a miracle? And so sometimes we don't recognize that some of the things that we may have gone through have been allowing ourselves to become that raw material that God can perform a miracle in and through our life, and all will see of the miracle that which God has truly done. Now let's look at the divine order. Now, Luke 12:48, it said, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given of them, much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. Now, Jesus did not commission angels to preach the saving gospel. Moreover, Jesus did not intend physically to live on earth forever to fill mankind's great need. He left these tasks to us in Mark 6. Jesus did not hand the food directly to the multitude. He gave it to his disciples, and they in turn gave it to the people. In similar sense, we are blessed as children of God, and we are to be good and faithful stewards of the blessing and provisions that God has given to us as children of God. To whom much is given, much is required. We have been abundantly blessed, and it is our responsibility to bless others by what we have received. God is looking for a channel through which he can provide his blessing. When we find someone willing, he first will provide for that person to have first fruit of what he then can give to others. If we grasp what we have been given with iron grips, we will lose all we have. But if we freely give, we will freely receive more and more. Now, let's look at the satisfying provision. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. James 4:2-3. Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and ye receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. And so here, when asking, if we're asking for the better good for the whole, that all can benefit, then God is able to give us more. But when we're asking just to consume it upon our own lust, then we've limited the ability of what God wants to flow through us, because with iron grips, we will hold on to it as opposed to sharing and being a blessing to other people. The Bible even said after you've been converted, strengthen your brethren. That means after you have received the salvation of the Lord and the strength of the Lord, turn around and see, who can I strengthen? Who can I bless? Who can I invite to come to church? How can I be his disciple now because he's given me bread? And now who can I feed? Who can I encourage? And so think in terms of after you've been blessed, see, who can you turn around and be a blessing to? Now, 2 lessons can be learned from this narrative. Mankind can find satisfaction and fulfillment only when he looks to Jesus. 2, we often waste our time in asking and seeking things that will not satisfy or not in line with God's will and purpose for us. We need to pray and seek the Lord to find his divine will for our life. In his provision, we will find rest, will find comfort as well as satisfaction. Now, Jesus is broken for the world. And let's look further here. Matthew chapter number 6, verses 43 through verse 44 states, and they took up the 12 full baskets of fragments and of the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves, which were about 5,000 men. Let's look further into that. The fragments that remain, we do not know what happened to the leftover fragments. However, we can be sure that they were not wasted. There is no room in God's economy for wasting provision, divine provision. We must thankfully receive and thankfully use and thankfully speak of the blessing and provision of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his all for us. Number two, Jesus is the bread of life. At Calvary Cross, Jesus shed his precious blood and allowed his body to be broken. Since God uses broken things, he allowed himself to be beaten and broken in order to be our healer. He died for our sins in order to be our savior. He ransacked hell in order to be our deliverer. He paid the ultimate price to be our satisfying portion. Number three, Jesus, the satisfying portion. One writer put it this way, only Jesus can satisfy our soul. Only he can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Jesus always satisfies. Though many people in the world are looking for a quick fix for their problem, only Jesus Christ and his saving gospel can give true satisfaction. As other songwriters said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. D, Jesus gave his life for the world. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride said, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let them take the water of life freely. It has been given to us freely. Now, all have received the invitation. This blessing is open to everyone. All may come and drink from the satisfying and refreshing wells of salvation. Jesus made it possible by his sacrifice on Calvary for all to come and dine sufficiently at his table and at his well, at the wells of salvation, where he will provide strength and refreshment unto the souls of his people. Now let's look further here in things, and let us go back over and take a look at what we've been talking about. We have been talking on today that God, the God of provision, and we talked about how Jesus Christ is the provider of our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, and he supplies and satisfies every need. When we talked on Sunday and we preached on Sunday such a profound word, God began to deal with our heart and to say that we must invoke that name of Jesus in area and things in our lives and things, and that God will be able to bless us and undergird us and fortify us as the men and women of God that he's called us out to be. Now, we talked about several principles that we as children of God must engage in. And I want you to hear it because I want you to get it in your spirit. First of all, we must trust him. Secondly, we must come to him. Thirdly, we must begin to depend totally upon him and his written word. And as we begin to give ourselves over unto God by trusting him, by coming to him, and then thirdly, obeying his word that he's given to us as children of God. Don't you know he already stated to us as the people of God that I've already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. So if God has already given us everything, absolutely everything that pertains unto life and godliness, well, it must be up to us as children of God to begin to tap in to that provision that he's already has made for we the people of God. What we must begin to do is every day when we wake up, we should say, God, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. You already given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. And now, God, I walk in your provisions today. I walk in your protection today. I walk in your abundancy of life today. Now, that's when you leave this spiritual earthly realm and step into the spirit realm. And that's how we step into the spirit realm, by following after the spirit of Christ, especially and more so if you have been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives utterance. That's the evidence that the infilling of the Spirit of God has taken control and resides within your earthen vessel. And it's key for us all to have that. It's not just for those that have spiritual gifts, because God led captivity on high and he gave gifts unto men. Every man, woman, boy, and girl have been getting gifts from God from on high and things. And we must recognize that the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance, is a gift to the entire body of Christ. For every man, woman, boy, or girl, it's God's Spirit being living and residing inside of you. And that's key, because in order for us to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, is key for us to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, come on, child of God, and shout hallelujah. Sometimes it's hard to grasp behind, but if you get in your word, and if you begin to take God and say, God, give me understanding about your word and about the Holy Spirit, God will open unto you the truth and the mystery of his will. Oh, yes, he will. He's ready and he's willing to do it in and through our lives on today. But we must obey him. We must trust him. But we most of all must come to him and sit down and say, okay, God, here I am. I'm your daughter. I'm here for you, God. I'm right here. I'm sitting in your presence, God. And maybe start out by reading the word and say, God, I'm going to read your word today and speak to me through your word. And you're developing that relationship with God so that he can speak to your heart and speak with your mind. And before you know it, God is going to unfold himself and manifest himself even in a greater and a more profound way, because you yielded yourself over into the hand of God and the things of the Lord. Now let's look in our conclusion here on today. It's the world, it was in a dire strait. No man could provide the need remedy. God looked down from heaven and was moved with compassion, and he robed himself in human flesh and came to earth to become the bread of life. His body was broken, and now his provision feeds the needs of all mankind. He gave his all so that our needs would be met and his righteousness satisfied. Through his sanctified sacrifice on the cross, Jesus made a way for all to come to him and be saved. Today, Jesus is the only satisfying portion of our spiritual needs of man. Jesus gave his life for the world. We need to give our lives, our bodies, and our generation for our generation. We need to give what we have and place it in the divine hands of God and let him feed the multitude today. Jesus is able to supply any need we have. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is love. He is the only Savior. We need to come to him anew today. This is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, child of God, God is ready to supply all of your needs. So don't quake, don't tremble, don't even faint in your mind about the fiery tests that's coming up against you. Remember, God wants to show you something and perform a miracle right in your life. And all you need to do is to yield over and obey him, even in the hard places. Stay in Sunday school. Stay in Bible study. Stay in the places where God will want you to be, and he will truly make those provisions on your behalf. Do what you have to do. Do what you need to do, and then place it in the hands of a sovereign God, and he will do the rest. Father, we thank you for this time on today. We thank you for the time that you allowed us to come and be with your people and to share that you are the provider. And God, you still provide for your people in the midst of a recession, in the midst of a famine. Father, you are able to put food on the table, clothes upon the back of your people. Have thine own way, O God. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor that is due unto your holy name. And Father, we thank you because you are that righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the great, bright and morning star. And Father, we thank you and we praise your blessed name. Now bless all of my hearers that's on this cast today or will listen later. Father, I ask that you meet their needs. I pray, oh God, that you will open every door, Lord. Rebuke the devourer, God, in the name of Jesus, that they still be faithful in their tithes and offering, God. You are the provider. You are the way out of no way. And Father, we thank you because you are the blessed Savior, and we give you the glory and the honor, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Truly, I'm so glad that you were with me on today, and I want you to know, as always, as we get ready to bring our session to a close, that if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. According to Matthew 7:7, the Bible said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Until we meet again, child of God, it's been a pleasure and being in your home and abode on today. Remember to invoke the name of Jesus over your life and in your entire being and be baptized, taking on that precious name, which that name is Jesus, is key for our life and our salvation. May the Lord God bless you until we meet again. Don't you dare come down. Don't you throw in the towel. If you come down, go down on your knees and cry out unto God, and he shall and will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is my prayer. It's been a blessing being with you on today. Take the word along, the Lord along with you everywhere you go. We're going to need them. We're going to need them everywhere we go. May God bless you and may God keep you is my prayer. Bye-bye. Thank you.